Got 25 to 75 people in your company? Check out knowyourcompany.com, software that helps companies like Airbnb know their company better.
It is the Chicago Verse podcast on the Dynasty Podcast Network, featuring interviews with Chicago's premier artists and industry and creatives and culture leaders. Hosted by Haima Black. Welcome to Chicago.
Right on, man. Rich Jones. How you doing, man?
I'm great. How are you?
Good. Man, just killer night talking to really incredible talent here. And same thing. Thank you for coming up, man. And thank you for coming back. You've been on the podcast once before.
It's first off, man, this has been a really inspiring just like hour plus of just listening to some really amazing insight. I mean, I know Brent. I know RTC.
Yeah.
I just met FemDot tonight, but I'm really grateful I've had a chance to just listen to everything they've had to say. It's just really awesome.
It blows me away. This is the highlight of my week. Like I love that I'm in this position where I just email people that I think are doing cool creative work, and I say, "Will you come talk to me for 30 minutes on Sunday night?" And then nine out of ten times they say yes, and I'm like, "Oh my god, like this is wild."
Yeah.
You know, I get to talk to all these people who I admire their work ethic, and I get to ask them, "How is the sausage made?" So, yeah. So no complaints.
Yeah.
So man, we had you on last summer, I want to say, for Pink Slip, right?
It was around spring, right after that came out. Yeah.
Sure. Yeah. We were doing it at Cards Against Humanity, and that was like a long-form interview, if I recall correctly.
Yeah, we got into some things.
Yeah, we went deep. So like I said, thank you for coming up tonight, man. Again, like from my perspective, just on social media, like talking to people around the scene, it feels like your stuff's really blowing up. Do you feel like that?
It depends on the day, but I would say for the most part, it's been feeling pretty good to be at least recognized for what I've been doing. I know last summer I was out in Las Vegas wrapping up my EP, which we just put out last month. And
right.
I woke up to a tweet from Do312 congratulating me for being the runner-up to Chance the Rapper, which is in the Chicago Reader poll, which was amazing.
Wild.
Right. Here I am making pop music and kind of exploring this whole other medium, and then all of a sudden, out of left field comes this pretty massive recognition for, what I've been doing, since I started making music, 10, 11 years ago. So, that sort of moments like that, I'm just very grateful, very appreciative for, just because, for all those days where I wasn't, feeling like that was a thing, then all of a sudden you get that,
Right.
So, I definitely would say it feels nice to be appreciated and to at least know that people are checking the records out. As always, there's more work to be done in terms of really getting it out there and pushing it further. But, I'm really feeling pretty happy and pretty positive about how things have been going so far.
Dude, that's awesome. So, because I think that there was definitely a critical, response to Pink Slip. But then with Vegas, it's a different kind of energy I've seen. Like, when you did the show a few weeks back, I saw that event RSVP in my feed nonstop. And that's not something that you can, that's how there's a real kind of response there, because you see, and the audience on social media actually hitting interested, hitting attending, you can't game that really.
I'd say if anything, it was very satisfying, because obviously aside from doing music, I've been promoting shows and curating shows for going on 5 years now. And so I would argue that this is kind of like a crown jewel sort of moment where I take everything that I've learned from, years of kind of doing this on a smaller platform and in smaller venues. And then you get to kind of weave it all together for one big thing, and to see it go so immensely well, both in terms of selling out Lincoln Hall, but then also just
seeing, which is huge. That's a huge accomplishment.
Yeah, my mother couldn't stop smiling. she her cheeks hurt. She was grinning so much. And of course, my dad, he was just so proud. Having that room filled with such a diverse cast of people too. For me, it's always been about how can we bring in, the different communities and put them all in one room. And I felt like I did a pretty good job of that in terms of the artists that I booked for.
Who was on the bill for that one again?
Sports Boyfriend, mm-hmm. Kaina and the Burns Twins.
Yeah, that's right.
L.A. Van Gogh, Kari, who I'd had the year previously for the release show at Shuba's, which also went immensely well, and then some guy named Rich Jones who was headlining.
Some guy,
yes.
And that's—I mean—that's a killer lineup. I know that our producer Audrey Sutherland, who works on Dynasty Podcast, she was involved, like someone like helping with some of the promo and stuff as well.
Definitely. Well, I'd met her previously in the fall, and as we got closer to the show, it became obvious that, you know, even though I'd organized the show, I had absolutely zero interest in doing a lot of like technical stuff day of, because I got to get ready to kill it. You know? And you know, obviously my manager Ben, who was a huge help, you know, in terms of, you know, both keeping my head in the game and then also with organizational stuff. You know, he's only one guy, so you know, having someone like Audrey to kind of hit up and be like, hey, you want to check into the game and do stage managing, kind of help with some of this auxiliary stuff was fantastic.
Audrey, you say like Ben's one person. Audrey is five people. That's no disrespect, but having worked with Audrey Sutherland and Ingrid Legends as well, man, like I'm so in awe of my team, and like I've worked with Audrey for 3 years, and she's absolutely five people in one.
Yeah,
like it's staggering the work ethic there. So I'm not surprised that she was involved with something that had that much energy going on.
Oh yeah, no, her motivation was top notch.
So the Vegas show happened recently. What was that? January?
January. 20th.
January. Yeah. Okay. When did Vegas drop? Was that in January or
that
December?
That was the same day.
Okay, yeah. So it was right around then.
Mm-hmm.
Let's get into the backstory of this project. So it's post Pink Slips, and you went to Vegas, Las Vegas, in summer 2016?
No.
Okay.
Vegas began February 2015, the Super Bowl. I flew out there. Chicago was under like a million feet of snow.
Sure.
I ended up, of course, having some boots on that had no snow seal or anything. So my by the time I get to the airplane, I'm taking off my boots at airport security, and I'm just sloshing around. And then
you got the wet socks.
Oh yeah, wet socks. And I'm on the plane for like 5 hours, just like miserable. But then as soon as I got to Vegas, we got to my friend's apartment, and I brought an extra pair of shoes with me because I knew I wasn't going to be wearing boots the whole time. And I just threw them on his balcony and left them for 10 days because I was like, I don't
know. What a great metaphor.
Yeah. and so, you know, that was the real motivator behind the trip is because he, Ryan Lofty, you know, we'd known each other since he was living out here.
Right. He's a Chicago musician. We hit him on the podcast in 2014.
Awesome. Yeah. Yeah. No, we'd been friendly, you know, since 2010, 2011. And, you know, he was getting a lot of traction in commercial work, both in terms of getting placements on television and commercials. And, you know, we talked about working for a long time. And, you know, I think one thing that's been, you know, just the reality of doing this line of work is you have to find a way to make money. And, you know, I'm about to be 29 years old and I'm pot committed to this. This is what I love to do. But I mean, seeing money come from this is an important factor too, and seeing different avenues of doing that, whether it's organizing shows or songwriting or whatever, there's a lot of different ways to make a buck. And so, you know, I reached out to him and said, look man, like I've got nothing to lose right now, and I'd really appreciate it if we could just give this a shot. And what was so amazing was by the first day we'd already pretty much had a fully fleshed out record, and at that point, like it's crazy, we did probably calendar-wise, less than 2 weeks worth of sessions, but we were knocking out at least a song a day, like fully
That's
produced.
Because
Ryan's a genius. He can just play any instrument. He had fantastic songwriting tips to kind of, you know, get me in a more of
He's a guru.
Oh, 100%. Yeah. But even so, you know, I think part of it was just he was just so much fun to work with. Because, when things are going good, man, the words are just flying. And I think, you know, also with my background as an MC, you know, I know how to freestyle. So if I'm going to come up with a song, you know, I knew how to figure out, like, if I'm getting a writer's block, I'll just freestyle this out, whether it's with a melody or a flow or whatever. And then, you know, eventually pick the exact words I wanted. So, yeah, that's what's just been so great, is just this kind of, like, weird adventure to this place. Like, it wasn't like I was doing the stereotypical, we're going to go to Vegas and rage sort of vacation. Like,
right.
we'd be in his bunker studio for like, you know, 10 hours and then pop out to the El Cortez, which is like straight out of, you know, Vegas Vacation.
Sure.
And, you know, sit next to some What Would Jesus Do, you know, look in person with the What Would Jesus Do shirt and, you know, drinking free Hennessy and playing penny slots for like an hour and be like, all right, break over, let's go back.
It's a different kind of inspiration in Las Vegas. I went to Las Vegas for the first time a few years back. I don't remember exactly what calendar year it was, but I went for the EDM Biz conference, And I don't know if it was that same summer or maybe the subsequent summer I went, because South by Southwest was doing a short-lived kind of like inspirational version, like startup version of South by in Vegas, like very conference heavy, not music. Yeah. And so like I kind of like had a few years where I was going out there for conferences. And then I was just like, I'm not going to even pretend that I'm going out for conferences. Like I fell in love with the energy. It is a completely different animal. Mm-hmm. And it's, I think, so inspiring out there. Definitely. And I think people have this like weird, like they almost are kind of like Vegas is a dirty word, but like, I don't know. It sounds like it worked really well for you.
I mean, I think having a purpose while being out there and having something that was like way more tangible than let's go trick off a bunch of money and get wasted. I think, which is very easy to do.
I
mean, yeah. Like, you know, by all means, you know, if that's what you want to do, go crazy. But I think having, you know, a reason to be there that was kind of a different sort of pleasure. You know, making music is like super fun for me, and having, you know, having the option to just completely tune out, you know, everything else that's going on in my life and just focus on one thing in that place specifically was just great, especially because, you know, it mostly was beautiful out the whole time. You know,
The
last time was brutal because it was like 118 degrees out. So that was a little much.
I've been there on those days where my phone will come up with a screen and it's like, it basically says, fuck you.
Yeah, exactly.
Like the phone's like, it is too hot for me to work. Turn me off or I'm going to die.
Exactly.
Which is wild. I've never seen the phone do that out of here.
Well, I ended up getting to stay at this, because I was the last trip out there, I couldn't really afford a hotel, and I was going to just crash on a couch. And it worked out that Ryan knew a guy who had a plug at this mansion that did Airbnbs. And they were like, yeah, we'll hook you up for free. And I ended up like, it was like $11 I spent because they wanted me to write a review on Airbnb. So it was like this place called Sixth and Franklin. You know, it was great. So I spent like 3 nights there, and they had a big pool, which was fun, but it, you know, I jumped around in that and it was like being in a big bathtub, you know, cause again, 118 degrees.
I'm going to have you send me the link to this.
Oh yeah.
Cause I'm already planning like hopefully 2 trips to Vegas this summer, man. So like I'm already sold on this.
Yeah, I'll definitely plug you with Ryan and with the Sixth and Franklin people. They were super cool. It's actually the guy, I think Joe is his name. One of the founders of Life is Beautiful.
Amazing.
So, you know, they really have been focused on bringing in talent from all over. You know, they want artists to be in this space. So,
sure.
You know, that was amazing.
So having done the sessions out in Vegas, like, was that, I guess, what kind of sparked, was it Vegas? Was it Ryan? Was it all these things or something else? What sparked the more pop sound of this Vegas record that, you know, wasn't as prevalent on your previous work?
I mean, I've always, I think, had a good sense, at least from, you know, from like my first project, Sweater Weather, on a good sense of hooks. And,
right.
You know, something that, you know, would be catchy and, you know, something people could sing to or at least, you know, recite back. And
sure.
In this situation, you know, the edict was there will be no rapping. It's just it's just going to be this. So I think really being able to explore that genre in a very intense manner, you know, it was fantastic. And I think it also really allowed me to tap into, you know, long-standing influences that had kind of been dormant in some capacity. You know, my mother, I feel like I said this last time I was on, like, my mom, when I was first showing her music when I was in high school, she would just say to me, you're holding back. And I didn't understand what that meant, because here I am writing, you know, all these bars, and, you know, here I am thinking, what, I gave it everything.
Right.
But, you know, for her, you know, as a forming musician herself, you know, she's thinking, no, like, big picture, like, what else could you add to this? So, like, I think being able to go to that place and really just, you know, tune out any sort of, like, previous leanings that I might have and really just go for uncharted territory with such a phenomenal, you know, kind of navigator to do it with.
Oh, sure, absolutely.
You know, because both of us are huge fans of pop music. And, you know, so, you know, some days we would just, you know, listen to, like, you know, records that we really liked and kind of think about what can we borrow from these records to kind of make our own thing. You know, so that was a lot of fun.
Who are some of your, like, maybe guilty pleasure? Like, for me, I unabashedly love pop. Mm-hmm. That terrible Machine Gun Kelly, Camilla, like, I don't know her last name, but that's that song.
That one terrible that's on the radio right now.
Yeah.
See, I can't get down with that. That one, but that it's one, like, actually makes me want to blow my head off. When I'm in a lift, I tell them to change the station off, because I just can't do it.
And I'm not trying to pick on that song.
Yeah.
But there's so much music that I, like, objectively recognize is bad. And I love it. It's like eating cotton candy for dinner.
Yeah.
It's like, for you, like, what are some of those pop influences where you're like, you know what, I just unabashedly get behind this?
I got to tell you, I remember the first time I heard Teenage Dream by Katy Perry.
Oh, my God.
It blew my fucking mind. I'm like, this is amazing. I started studying Katy Perry's writing format because her team is so, they're great. They have a format. They do just enough different each time out to, you
but
know,
it's
have
always,
it be exact. It's always consistent. I'd say, like, you know, she's fantastic. I really actually am warming up to and respecting a lot of Lady Gaga.
Just oh, my because, God. Like, Gaga's a legend.
For her, it's just, like, I think there's a certain earnestness and honestness to her stuff.
You sure.
Know, even though, you know, I wasn't really into her when I was in college and even when I was a little younger, but as I've gotten older and gotten to understand the craft a bit more of writing and all that, I really like what she does because she is a musician. She is a true
oh,
artist.
My God. She's a beast, man. She's, like, she's so heavy. She's so metal. Like, I love Gaga. Like, she... I saw her a few years back on, like, the Monster Ball tour or the Fame Ball or mm-hmm. Fame Monster. I don't. They all had, like, there was, like, five tours that had the same name.
Ball of Monsters.
Right. It was, like, the Taco Bell menu. They just kept reorganizing the things, but it was... It's but like, but I saw her maybe, like, 2010, 2012, somewhere in that space, yeah. And I was blown away.
Yeah.
I'm somebody who's seen Slayer, Black Sabbath, like, you know, Metallica, Marilyn Manson, and I was like, this is as heavy as any of those acts I could have named.
Yeah, I saw it at Lollapalooza, I feel like, around 2000.
Right, it was maybe like a year later or something like that. Yeah,
that was great.
Yeah.
I'd say, though, like kind of maybe lesser known in this country, but my hands-down favorite of the pop music genre is Robin.
Robin,
like,
she kills it, yeah.
I remember I saw her at the Riv. The concert had been canceled and then rescheduled for Valentine's Day, and I went kind of on, like, a one-off date with a friend, and it was definitely an experience, both in terms of the stage setup, and then, you know, I just love that Body Talk record. Was like,
her songwriting is incredible.
Like, Ben and our friend Matt, they were really hyping it up, and then it actually took a breakup for me to really get into that record and really get into that music. I remember, like, walking home in the sludge at, like, when we used to get snow in Chicago.
Back when winter existed.
In 2010, 2011, and I'm hammered coming home at, like, 2000, you know, coming home at, like, 2 a.m. And it's just this gray, sludgy snow, but in my earbuds I have this, like, bright, shimmery Swedish pop. And it just, the contrast was just hilarious to me. I'm just,
yeah.
Like, here I am completely transported. And, you know, meanwhile...
pumping right sunshine into exactly, your ears, yeah.
You know, walking past the Y, like, hello, YMCA. but, you know, and I'd say some of the pop stuff also comes just from, you know, honestly, like, the I know this is more ska thing, but, like, the Specials and their hooks are
sure.
So amazing.
Oh, yeah, absolutely.
You know, I know that's a bit older and, you know... It was awesome to see him at Riot Fest this year. That was great. That was definitely, like, you know, let's check that off. You know, let's check that box in terms of, like, groups that I'm really glad I got a chance to check out.
That's amazing.
Yeah.
So the record's out now. It's called Vegas. You've done these amazing sessions in Las Vegas with Ryan Lofty. Like, what's on deck for you now that you have all this accomplishment under your belt? Like, what does this open up for you? What's on deck for 2017?
I'm going back to Vegas tomorrow.
Man,
we're gonna make more records. You know, I think in terms of, you know, my music, you know, I've got a project I've been working on with Walking Shoe, mm-hmm. who's an amazing producer and songwriter and vocalist in his own right, which I'm really excited about. We started that actually kind of inadvertently about 6 months after the Vegas project started in 2015. And he's been super fun to work with. I'm excited to start getting those records out. You know, I've got a lot of loose things that are, you know, I'm really glad Brent's here because Brent, like,
we're all glad Brent's here.
He's someone I've talked to a lot over the years when I wasn't feeling confident about putting my stuff out, and I just was so scared the reception wasn't going to be what it was going to be. But at the end of the day, you really can't fucking worry about it. So
no, I just got to do your thing.
Yeah. So I've got a lot of loose singles or, like, things that could be part of, like, smaller EPs that I think I'm going to start organizing and getting together. I've got one song for sure that's coming out soon with the Burns Twins and Beddoes, which I'm super
huge.
Pumped about. You know, that we're working with them, especially. It's interesting because you know, they're a full decade younger than me. And that being said, you know, for as much as, you know, there were definitely some things I brought to the table, you know, in terms of my experience, but as far as I was concerned, working with Eddie on the record we're going to put out, you know, we were equals because his musical IQ is so off the charts.
Yeah.
That it wasn't like on some like, let me show you how it's done. No, it's like we're working together as peers. And, you know, so that to me had me super excited. So yeah, you know, kind of getting those records together, and then I think hitting the road, I'd like to start doing some shows outside of Chicago. You know, I've done a lot here, and there's still things that I'd like to do. You know, someday maybe play the Metro, maybe we'll play Talia Hall.
That's the dream, man.
Insert name of a bigger venue, and we're gonna shoot for it. But I also know that, you know, there have songs will travel. So, you know, I'm hoping to do one offs or like some smaller tours this year. And you know, I think what's going to make that possible, quite frankly, is, you know, because I do put on events here, it's easy to hit up my friends in other cities and be like, hey, can you put me on a show? Because I can reciprocate here. You know, whether that's All Smiles at Tonic Room, which is turning 5 in April.
That's wild.
Super, super wild, especially considering that it began by me walking into Tonic Room and them not believing that my ID was my ID.
That's amazing.
To ask if I could start doing shows. So that, you know, it's been a journey. But, yeah, you know, or whether it's, you know, working with what I honestly am really excited by in Chicago is like the massive emergence of our DIY kind of art area.
Sure.
As a place to showcase your music and to you know, do what you do. I think for me especially, like, considering that I have gone back and forth between, you know, the different genres, I'm doing a lot of blending, there's not a neat box for me to go into. I wouldn't necessarily, you know, I don't know if you necessarily put me like with the underground heads that I grew up listening to, or that I'm friendly with and respect, or if you put me in with like some of the new class of, like, I'd say more fashion based, you know,
sure,
types of artists. I think I kind of exist in my own realm in that regard, though I can easily float.
But yeah, you
and
can
spend time in each.
Absolutely.
You know, but I've found in those areas where people generally want to be entertained and genuinely want to be entertained, that's where I've really found my people that will support this. I mean, whether that's like going to places like Shithole, the comedy venue,
sure,
or whether it's like messing with Dojo and Pilsen or Ruck Corp and Bridgeport, you know, just
right.
These,
I saw you there at the VAM party.
Exactly. Yeah. I mean, you know, VAM especially, like, you know, those sorts of events, the way that they bring together all of these people that are there to enjoy whatever's been put in front of them because they trust in the curation. I think that sort of thing, if we can keep doing that, that would be amazing. That would be incredible. And I think does nothing but help not only the hip-hop community, but all of the musical communities. Because, I mean, you know, you were saying with RTC, like, things have changed. I remember what it was like to be a teenager listening to, you know, Mole Men or Gravel Records,
right,
or, you know, EV Records.
And that was underground.
That.
You had to go
and
find that stuff.
You had to go find that stuff, but there was definitely a big, no one's fucking with us, so we have to fuck with us mentality.
Right.
And to see the shift now become where we are nationally respected in a very real and earnest way. In a lot of ways, I feel like excelling over a lot of the places that are creating music at the moment. I mean, hey, water's warm and there's talent everywhere, but it's nice to see us kind of, in a lot of ways, being the crown jewel of a lot of this creative shit.
No, man, it's an incredible time for Chicago. We're seeing that. We're living it. And, man, I'm so glad we got you up again tonight because the record's incredible. I love listening to it. I love pop. I love Vegas. It's an easy sell, and I'm always a fan of what you're doing. So, you know this. We say this to everybody every week, but, like, the mic's always on. As you have new projects, like, you know, we'll continue this conversation, man.
Of
Rich
course,
Jones, man. Thank you for coming up, man.
Dude, thank you so much for having me, Mr. Black.
Absolutely, man.
We'll, as an old family friend used to say, we'll do it again.
Absolutely.
You've been listening to a production of Dynasty Podcast. Find more Dynasty Podcasts at dynastypodcast.com. For the Dynamic Dynasty, Dynasty, descend.